ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट 38 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द रेसिडेंस ऑफ जम्बुद्वीप ऑफर प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट 38 करोति विश्वस्थिति सम्योमोदयम् यस्येप्सितं नेप्सितं इसिक्तुर्गुणै मया यथायो ब्रमते तद् आश्रयम् ग्रन्वो नमस्ते गुणकर्म साक्षिने करोति विश्वस्थिति सम्यमोदयम् यस्येप्सितं नेप्सितं ईक्षितुर्गुणै माया यथायो ब्रमते तद् आश्रयम् ग्रवनो नमस्ते गुणकर्म साक्षिने। प्लीज चैंट। Mataji's, please. Karoti, performing. Vishva, of the universe. Stiti, the maintenance. Samyama, winding up. Udayam, creation. Yasya, of whom. Ipsitam, desired. Na, not. Ipsitam, desired. Iksitu of the one glancing over. Gunai with the modes of material nature. Maya, the material energy. Yatha, as much as. Aya, iron. Brahmate, moves. Tadasrayam, placed near that. Gravna, a magnetic stone. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you. Guna karma sakshine, the witness of the actions and reactions of material nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance or annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone, inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. Purport: sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is so full of suffering for the living entities entrapped in it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls wants to enjoy it. The working of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways, just as a lodestone causes a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Sankhya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision. But that is not the fact. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 6.18 and 19, the creation of material world is explained as follows: Yadyapi Sankhya Mane Pradana Karana Jada Haitha Kabu Nahe Jagat Srijana Nija Srishti Sakti Prabhu Sanchare Pradane Ishwarera Saktye Tabe Haya Tha Nirmane. Atheistic Sankhya philosophers think that the total material energy causes the cosmic manifestation, but they are wrong. Dead matter has no moving power and therefore it cannot act independently. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with His own creative potency. Then by the power of the Lord, matter moves and interacts. Sea waves are moved by the air, and the air is created from the ether. The ether is produced from the agitation of the three modes of material nature, and the three modes of material nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over the total material energy. Therefore, the background of all natural occurrences is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This is also further explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5:59-61. Jagat Karana Nahe Prakriti Jadarupa Sakti Sancharya Tare Krishna Kare Kripa. Krishna Saktiye Prakriti Haya Gauna Karane Agni Saktiye Lauha Yaiche Karaya Jarana. Ata Eva Krishna Mula Jagat Karana Prakriti Karana Yaiche Ajagala Stana. Because Prakriti, material nature, is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. Lord Krishna shows His mercy by infusing His energy into the dull, inert material nature. Thus, Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples of the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. Thus, it is a great mistake on the part of the material scientists and philosophers to think that the matter moves independently. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutle Shrimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutle Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakaranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that Machita Sarva Durgani Mat Prasada Tarishyasi Ata Chetva Mahankaran Nasoshyasi Navinashyasi. Krishna explains, if we are conscious of Him, then by His grace we can cross over all the obstacles. But however, if we are not conscious of Krishna, and we do not hear from Him and act independently, then we will be lost. So being conscious of Krishna, there are so many different levels. So many different levels. In the beginning, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we want to be conscious of Krishna, so we will benefit, like how I'm feeling and how, you know, what I will get by being conscious of Krishna. It's like my Guru Maharaj tells this, he remembers this as when he was a new devotee, there is this one bhakta that was coming along and he was told, you know, by coming to Krishna consciousness, you will actually become blissful. So always in japa and every time you see him, he will always be studying others, you know. Is he blissful? And as soon as he wakes up, he will be looking very thoughtful. They say I will become blissful, but am I actually feeling blissful? So one day he was actually packing his stuff to leave the temple. So my Guru Maharaj asked him, like, what's going on? Why do you want to leave? And he said, you know, not even Romapad is blissful all the time. He's been around for 3 years. This is the proof this process doesn't work. So he found an excuse to leave. It was so funny the way my Guru Maharaj explained it. But the point is, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are Krishna conscious, but it's all about me and what I will get. But as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we will become more and more conscious of what Krishna wants, what's pleasing to Krishna. And that's a very high platform of Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, this amazing statement that we call Krishna Bhagavan. Bhagavan means one who is full of all opulences. But even though Krishna is full of all opulences, He does not have something. It's hard to believe. But Brihat Bhagavatamrita explains that Krishna does not have the love of few of the living entities, that He does not have. Therefore, in the Gita, He is actually sorry, He is actually regretting, and it means a lot to Krishna that these conditioned souls have ignored Him and turned their back towards Krishna. So Krishna is actually sorry. And Krishna says in the Gita, those who bring those conditioned souls back to Him, they are the most dear. Krishna says, those who spreads My glories to the people that are, you know, anti-Krishna. Krishna says pure devotional service is guaranteed. And this is mood of Krishna and this is the mood of Prabhupada. It's like Bhrigupati Prabhu tells us when he asks Prabhupada, like, pretty much like, how to get Krishna's mercy. What's the shortcut, right? Something like that, right, Bhrigupati Prabhu? Prabhu asked the how to can Bhrigupati Prabhu asked Prabhupada, can you say something about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya? And Prabhupada answered, it's already been explained that you distribute Krishna consciousness, that way that's the shortcut method of getting Krishna's mercy, correct? So Prabhupada told him, continue doing Sankirtan and you'll be victorious. I was also watching Suhas Prabhu's memories. Prabhupada was on a morning walk and they were asking Prabhupada about Radharani and all kinds of esoteric things, but Prabhupada was not looking enlivened. But Suhas Prabhu rushed to Prabhupada and told him about the books course, and Prabhupada immediately became happy and said, yes, this is a real devotee. So this is the mood of all the acharyas and Krishna, that we bring people to Krishna consciousness, and this is the most pleasing thing to Krishna. It's explained throughout all the Vedic literatures that in Kali Yuga there is only one good quality, asti eka mahat gunan. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Rajit. In this ocean of false age of Kali, there is only one good quality, that is to chant the holy names of Krishna. We know that, and as devotees, the japa or chanting is actually the most important part of our lives. Sometimes we forget, you know, there's so much going on, then the japa becomes like a background music for our contemplating, like our day's activities. But it's the most important activities. And without, especially like I was living in New Zealand, coming to LA, my God is so passionate. Like Suhas Prabhu says often, like his bhakta leader told him, any japa you chant after 7 o'clock, I don't consider it japa, is that correct? He's so passionate in living in city, Los Angeles. We don't chant, it's like we have no shelter against Maya pretty much. We may have our plans, you know, how we're going to gradually get it together in Krishna consciousness. You know, we have it all worked out, 5 years, 10 years time, you know, I'll be a Mahabhagavat. But Maya doesn't care, you know. There's no peace negotiation with Maya. She has no respect for our plans. Maya is actually like a raging wind. There's no compromise. It's not a breeze. So, unless we take shelter of Krishna's holy names, and unless we develop a taste for Krishna's holy name, no matter who we are finished. It's so insurmountable, the material energy. But the taste for chanting and that absorption for chanting, that is Krishna's mercy. We cannot demand it, like my Guru Maharaj says, you cannot hold the clock in front of Krishna, you know. I've been doing this so long, when are you going to give me? You cannot demand mercy. It has to come from Krishna. It has to come from Krishna, and Krishna will give it to us, and we have seen it in the past. So many devotees attain spiritual mercy when we share the holy name with others. When we share with Krishna consciousness with others. And if we want to do it, it's possible. Just I think it's Ford who said that any given situation, some look at it and say it's impossible. And some say it's completely possible. And both of them are correct. It's if you want to do something, we can do it. If you don't want to do something, then there's so many excuses why we don't want to do it, or why we can't do it. And devotees are so intelligent as well. You can come up with so many shastric evidences why we can't do it. So, the process is by giving Krishna we get Krishna. I was inspired to speak on this because just a few days ago, I had this teeny realization, trying to share Krishna consciousness with this one boy I met on Harina. He came back to the temple and, you know, he was around for a few days. And I was trying to share Krishna consciousness with him. It's definitely not easy. It's like he was very sincere and very, you know, spiritual. But, you know, this day and age, you know, people are really like out there. In Bengali, they call utkat. Utkat. Utkat means you like really out there, you know. So I was trying to share Krishna consciousness. And whoever I tried to introduce him to, they were all saying like, Prabhu, ask this boy to take a shower, you know. He's just like, devotees, you know, so pure and clean and they can't stand this, like, because this boy is, I don't think he's taken any showers lately. So everybody was proudly introducing him to their, like, kind of, you know, ask this boy to, like, take a shower, you know. So how am I going to say to him that, you know, take a shower? I'm just like, I don't want to offend him. At the same time, it's like, I can't even stand it. So, I was praying for Krishna for words that I can tell him to take a shower without offending him. Forget about the holy name and Radharani and Bhagavatam. And then somehow or other, I took him to my bathroom. I said, you know, don't take it personally, but you know, body's like the temple, we gotta keep it clean. And that's when we can understand higher spiritual matters. This is like an antenna, we have to keep it clean. And then I offered him a toothpaste and he said, this stuff is poison, he wouldn't, he refused to brush his teeth. And then I showed him the soap and he said, this is toxic, he wouldn't touch the soap. And then he looked at the shower and he says, I will shower only if the water is reverse osmosis. I've never heard of that. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? So he completely rejected all my offers. But my intense desire that he agreed to go in the shower for a couple of seconds and came out. And it just made the situation worse. It was like unbearable. Anyway, he left. And that night, I promise, I couldn't sleep. I was really in anxiety. I'm thinking, when he comes tomorrow, how am I going to convince him to clean himself, you know? I was losing my sleep. So I got all these organic ingredients, organic toothpaste, organic soap, everything. Finally, believe it or not, convinced him to brush his teeth and take shower and somehow or other gave Nam Kirtan some new shoes. I didn't ask him permission, later on I told him, but it was an emergency situation, I had to do it, you know. But anyway, after I cleaned him up, I said, would you like to do some meditation? He said, sure. So we came together and we chanted in the temple room maybe for like 20 minutes. My God, I was chanting with him. It's like Krishna was dancing in my tongue. I don't usually, like, when I'm chanting, it's like looking at the clock, you know, like Mahatma Prabhu calls it like beat the clock japa. Like machine gun chanting, you know, get the rounds out of the way. But I'm chanting with him, and he's chanting, I'm looking at Gaur Nitai, I'm praying, and praying to six Goswamis that, you know, he will go the distance. The chanting was so nice, was so delicious, was so hard to explain, it was so wonderful. And he was with me all day, and then I had to do some yoga, asanas, then he was following me around, so I didn't know how to engage him, you know. So I said to him, like, I gave you this book, Science of Self-Realization, why don't you read to me? So I was doing yoga asanas as he was reading. He's a good reader, he's got good English. And he was reading, and even though, like, you know, Science of Self-Realization, we've read it tons of times, but it was, every word was so nice to hear. putting myself in the shoes of a new soul that's lost and trying to come back to Krishna was so... Krishna was giving me the taste to hear science of self-realization. Usually we think, you know, Bhagavad Gita is for like ordinary devotees, and there's so many rasic books out there, you know. Bhagavatam, we read it. CC, we read it. We need like all kinds of books to collect, you know, Mukta Charita, Dana Charita. But this book, Science of Self-Realization, he was reading to me. I was like very inspired. And I was serving some Mahaprasadam the Vaninath Prabhu made. I haven't had his cooking in a long time. I was scared, but it was so nice. It was so nice. I don't know if it's because I was feeding this boy, Krishna is revealing some special taste, or Vaninath has become a good cook. I don't know which one is the fact, but was every process of Krishna consciousness I was trying to share with him, Krishna was also giving me some taste. Oh, here he is. It was so wonderful. The process was magnified. I was feeling actually like so much taste for the process of bhakti yoga. And I was actually also had a glimpse of realization what Prabhupada must have gone through, you know. Prabhupada, you know, coming from Vrindavan, Paramahamsa, you know. And he was preaching to people in Bowery of New York. It was really amazing what Prabhupada has gone through, what kind of sacrifice he's performed. Therefore, the pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada is so dear to Krishna. Because for them, Krishna consciousness is not about how I'm feeling, it's about how Krishna is feeling. Prabhupada is always conscious of what Krishna wants, what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wants. Therefore, Prabhupada is so dear to Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also it's mentioned that Vasudev Dutt, because of his compassion, he was so dear to Lord Chaitanya. So much so that Lord Chaitanya asked Sivananda Sen to take care of his family accounts. Because anybody who would come to Vasudev Dutt and ask him for anything, for him there's no consideration of saving or this for my family. He would just give it away wholesale. No problem. Anything anyone wants, anybody who approaches Vasudev Dutt, he would just give them away. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sannyas Sironmani, who was in the topmost renounced order of life, he was concerned. He was thinking like, I'm a sannyasi, I don't have anything, but that's okay. But he's a grihastha, he's got family and children to take care of. So he asked Sivananda Sen, like, you know, could you please, you know, keep an eye on his, you know, accounts. Please help him out, you know. So this way, a pure devotee of Krishna is so dear to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna because they're assisting him by bringing the souls that turn their back towards him. And by assisting the pure devotees, we also can get some taste for Krishna consciousness. We can get some taste. Because generally sometimes the mood is like, okay, I've landed in Krishna consciousness and somehow or other I'll go back to Godhead. But recently I saw this one little kid born in a devotee family. I was thinking, you know, this kid is taking birth in devotee family. That means according to Krishna, he must have been a devotee in his past life. That means devotees are taking birth. You know, there are chances that the devotees are, you know, taking another birth. It's very possible. It's very possible. It's like when Arjuna asked Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when does this lust go away? Krishna said, practically never automatically. Because generally, like even in India at least, like you have this common understanding that when you grow old, the lust goes away. But when Arjuna asked Krishna, when does this lust monster goes away? Krishna said, you have to practice, you have to become detached. It doesn't go away automatically. It's like Subhag Maharaj. He asked Srila Prabhupada, when can I overcome lust? Srila Prabhupada said, not possible. Again, the second time, Subhag Maharaj asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when can I overcome this lust? Prabhupada said the same thing, not possible. And the third time, this is like, you know, big gap in asking questions. Third time, Subhag Maharaj asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is this like possible to overcome this lust? Prabhupada said, not possible. And fourth time, Subhag Maharaj asked him, Prabhupada, how can I overcome this lust, you know, please. Prabhupada said, Govinda Icha. Krishna wants. If Krishna wants, it will happen. So this is the position. It's explained that even at the time of death, Krishna is on the right ear and Maya is on the left ear. Still you have the independence, you have to choose even in the last breath. So this is the position, you know, Daiviyesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. This is the position. This illusory energy, this material energy, Maya of Krishna, is so powerful. On our own, it's impossible for us to overcome Maya. But if we please Krishna, if we get the mercy of Krishna, then by Krishna's grace, Krishna says, Mam eva ye prabhadyante, mayam etam tarantite. By His grace, then we can easily overcome it. It's like my Guru Maharaj gives the example, like, you know, if there's a big dog, is chasing you, huge, like a bulldog or something. On your own, you cannot fight it and you cannot run away because it runs faster than you. But if the owner just whistles, then immediately the dog turns around, runs back to him. Similarly, on our own, to overcome Maya, it's not possible. But if we assist Krishna, if we assist Prabhupada and his disciples in the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, then we can we have hope. We can develop taste, actual taste for chanting, reading, and then we can understand this philosophy, and this way we can overcome Maya and go back to Krishna in this lifetime. So this is some of my teeny humble realizations. Any senior devotees have any comments or corrections? Or yes, Dravida Prabhu. Dravida Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just one quick comment. We know the philosophy, the basic, you know, principle of Lord Chaitanya's overarching reconciliatory philosophy, achincha beta beta tattva. And naturally in our life as devotees and in our sampradaya, the difference is emphasized, isn't it? Without that difference, there's no bhakti. So we like to think of ourselves as humble servants, and there's Krishna. I mean, that's the basic principle. But it's also important to remember the oneness. And this, the whole gist of your class was that, you know, that story at the beginning, the great story about the devotee who's looking, who's in bliss. Hey, everybody's not in bliss all the time. I'm leaving. You know, that's obviously ignorance. But the principle which comes out, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam in various places, how since Krishna is the self of the self, that when you serve Krishna, you're actually serving yourself in the best way. You don't think of it that way. I'm not serving myself, I'm serving Krishna. But the reason why the happiness is there and increases unlimitedly when you're doing things to please Krishna is because we're part and parcel of Krishna. It doesn't work for anyone else, although we try to do that. You know, the so-called love in this world, there's, you know, like the mother for the child. But ultimately, since there's a difference between the mother and the child. It wears off. It doesn't really work, you know, like it does with Krishna. But the only way to really be happy in Krishna consciousness is to forget completely about your happiness. Think of Krishna's happiness. But philosophically, we understand that that really means thinking of your ultimate happiness. So it's a kind of a paradox, and the mental adjustment is that no, I'm not thinking about my happiness. I'm just thinking about Krishna's happiness. But when Krishna's happy, and the happiest he can be, that's the verse you quoted there from the Gita. I guess you quoted or you referred to it, that, you know, there's no one more dear to me than one who explains the science of bhakti to my devotees. Why is that? Because Krishna makes Krishna the most happy, and therefore he makes you happy. And that whole experience you had, getting the greater taste by giving Krishna to others, that means that Krishna was happy with you. That's his reciprocation. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Raghupati Prabhu.
So this is a question, maybe to the question. Jivita, I don't know who will answer this question. So that was a nice explanation of how we benefit by serving Krishna. We're part and parcel of Krishna, and when we serve Krishna, it's like Prabhupada would give that example: when you feed the stomach, all the parts of the body get energy, and we water the roots of the tree, all the leaves and branches get the benefit. But so when we're performing devotional activities, how is it that all living entities benefit? I mean, say when we go out on, everyone here went on a big Harinam. Okay, so that's considered the greatest welfare activity for, you know, all living entities. But exactly what is the benefit they get? Do they become, you know, I've never heard it specifically stated. What is it? Say they're not anywhere near the Harinam. They're just some living entities, worms in the stool someplace or something like that. How are they being benefited by our engagement in devotional service? Or are they? Because that's the impression you get when you hear that statement. You know, you water the roots of the tree, all the leaves and branches get the benefit. So every living entity is kind of, in that, you know, analogy, a leaf or a branch, you know, because every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. So what specifically, what benefit are they getting when, you know, by when somebody engages in devotional service?
Can I speak, Dravida Prabhu? You want to say something? You look. No, you please. You look.
Anyways, first of all, that analogy, you know, is right in the Bhagavatam. That's right from a verse in the Bhagavatam. But that's, and Prabhupada always quotes it, of course. But look at it this way. You water the root of the tree. And there's so many buds on there, there's so many leaves, there's so many fruits and branches. Well, you don't see any benefit right away, right? If someone, you know, this way they say, well, you order, where's the blossoming, where's the fruits? They're just not doing anything. Doesn't work. Process doesn't work. But we know, of course, it does work, and that's the only way that the tree, and gradually, if there's nice water and sunshine and everything else, then the tree will give its gifts, and it'll be benefited. So similarly, you know, the idea is, well, someone's remote from the kirtan, or from the book distributor, or any effort in Krishna consciousness, the pujari. You know, it's all part of the preaching movement. How does that benefit so-and-so? Does someone, you know, the world is going on completely oblivious. But the whole idea is that the Krishna consciousness, just look at the history of this movement. Prabhupada started, you know, in America, and there was no obvious result at first. And gradually there's one little center. What does that mean for the rest of the world? It's just this little, you know, matchless gift center in 22nd Avenue. But just see, by the growing of that consciousness in the devotees, you know, they became potent to spread Krishna. So then they go to San Francisco, and suddenly the seed is planted there and it takes root, right? And so it's growing. And so now all over the world, practically everyone's heard of Krishna. Hare Krishna, you know, Hare Krishna. Some people may not have, but they will soon. So it's growing like that. So our little effort at going out on Harinam or book distribution, whatever it is we have to look long term. You know, just like an individual gets a book, doesn't read it, puts it on the shelf. 10 years later, he may pick it off, or someone else may, you know, it falls on his head. There's stories like that. Somebody's moving, it falls on his head, picks it. What's this? You know? And suddenly it fructifies. The bloom, you know, the fruit comes out. So that's how it's working. The watering is going on gradually through the tree of this whole world, because we're all part of the same tree of life, you know, is being watered. And ultimately everyone is benefited.
It's also when Prabhu was talking, it came to my mind that that Krishna says, "Suridam sarva bhutanam," that he is actually the Krishna is the well-wisher of all living entities, and we may not be able to help the worms in the stool or fishes in the ocean, but Krishna is always thinking about even those living entities' welfare. And in the Bhagavatam says he's even taking birth among the aquatics and vegetables and all like that. And what to speak of this pastime of Vasudev Dutt. He prayed for the liberation, not just for human beings or devotees. He prayed for the liberation of all living entities. So the pure devotees of Krishna and Krishna himself, they're always desiring the liberation of all living entities. But we may not be able to do that, but at least we can do what, as much as what's humanly possible, then that's to our credit, and that's all that's expected of us, and that's success. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.